Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, listen.
You notice how often we sing to start this show?
There's a few sing songs in the opening.
We do a lot of it. I feel like it's because Mike has a musical in his heart
that
he's never written.
Love that.
I'd like to hear it hit the musical that
Love
he
that.
Writes. Me too.
That's it. That would be wonderful.
Wouldn't it? By the way, if any game should have a musical dedicated to it that's like a dormant franchise, it's F-Zero, right?
Wow.
Do we agree on that?
Wow.
Do we agree?
Wow.
Because there's some bops. There are some bops in this one.
The music was absolutely a standout.
Yeah,
such
it's really good.
The vibes are immaculate for what it's trying to do. Yeah. Okay, great.
Yeah. Cool. I mean, yeah, very cool. By the way, welcome. This is our intro to one-upsmanship. Hope you enjoyed that conversation.
Nice. Because
that's what we're doing today.
Bam.
I'm one of your regular hosts, Adam Ganser, joined with one of my favorite guests and colleagues. Introduce yourself, sir.
Hello, my name is DJ Daniel Goodman, and I am absolutely thrilled to be here on the mic today with
so
Gans
thrilled.
To do some one-upsmanship.
We have a gentle bromance going. Is that okay to say?
I think that's completely fair.
A gentle bromance. Like, it's not Last of Us Ep 3, but it's like half speed.
Great, wasn't it? First of all, okay, so full disclosure, I haven't watched the show yet because...
Oh, shit.
No, okay. It's okay. I mean, of course, I've been exposed to every Twitter thing and whatnot.
Yeah.
I played the first game, so I was like, I have a feeling I know what's going on here. But full disclosure, finished The Last of Us 2 for the first time last night.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
How are you even awake this morning? you just need to go into a cocoon for 12 hours to recover.
Man, I had to get on the phone with some friends and talk for a little while. It was really incredible. It was really, really incredible.
Yeah.
I absolutely skyrocketed to the top of my, I think it's my favorite. It's definitely my favorite story in a video game I've ever played.
Yeah.
For sure.
Easy call. Sure. That's a layup. So before we get too much further, some of you are probably wondering, where's Mike? And great question. So Mike has just a little bit of personal business he needed to take care of, which means he's not going to appear on a few episodes because we record one-upsmanship on a weekend. Mm. We'll do 5-6 episodes in a
which
weekend.
Which is wild.
Yeah. Well, it makes it more manageable for us. So he's going to miss a series of episodes, but it's really just because he needed this weekend to do something. So fear not. He's fine. We're fine. He loves video games. I love video games. He'll be back. But we are thrilled to be joined by DJ Danil on this podcast to talk about a game that I have been trying to get on this podcast for at least a year. And I think I'm sneaking one past Mike right now is what's happening. And the game is F-Zero.
Wow.
F-Zero, 1991's yes. F-Zero.
Yes.
Had you ever played it before I talked to you about this?
No, I had. I was an F-Zero X person as a young child for the N64. Yeah. That was my entry to the series. But then seeing this was on Switch, thanks to your call out, was eye opening, I would say, in a lot of ways.
If you have a Switch, you can play this game for free right now. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can play F-Zero and I believe F-Zero X for free right now.
Yes.
If you have the Nintendo 64 expansion.
Right. Yeah. If you have the expansion pack.
Mm-hmm. Right. So like if you've never played anything in this franchise, I think you're in for a treat. I would say because I think F-Zero is kind of an underappreciated gem at this point, and we're going to talk about it at length today, starting with getting right into our format, passing our first ever checkpoint.
Wow.
Right into Tell Me Like I'm 8-Bit.
Yes.
Danil, do you feel like telling us like we're 8-Bit? Like what the hell this is?
I do feel like telling you like I'm 8-Bit or like they're 8-Bit or whomever is 8-Bit.
Like someone's 8-Bit. Like someone's 8-Bit.
Okay.
Great.
F-Zero is a futuristic racing game for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System that Gan said came out in 1991. It is revolutionary in a number of ways, but mostly in this usage of this graphical mode called Mode 7, which I know we'll talk about today.
Oh, nice.
But it is revolutionary in that it is one of the first racing video games to kind of define the format of what racing behind a car looks like. Every other racing game up to this point had been kind of like, you know, you're looking at a static image of a track and you're controlling a car. I think you're Track Manias or whatever. And this was one of the first ones to be actually behind the car, like you're in that third person view driving around that I think anybody who has ever played a racing game is the most familiar with. And this was the start of that. So if you're thinking, where did this come from? It came from F-Zero, a futuristic racing game on the SNES, one of the launch titles.
Yep.
For the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. And I think that's that.
Yeah, you did great.
Oh, thank you.
You did absolutely great. Thank you. I only want to add because I think it's just one of those moments I like to shout this out.
Please.
It was designed by Shigeru Miyamoto.
Oh, that was good. Yes.
Like
yes.
Everything good.
Yes.
Like literally everything
yes.
good.
Yes. Yes.
Man, that guy. He rules. Anyway, he really does. Like, I feel like there's a lot of people who I love who I probably wouldn't nerd out if I met them. Like, sure. I could meet Tom York and be normal, I think. I don't know if I could be normal if I met Shigeru Miyamoto.
Bro,
I don't know.
I completely agree.
This is
something that, like, in my personal life, I try to do where it's like, if I see a famous person, I'm like, you don't want to bother people. It's like, everybody's a human being. You don't want to be a jackass. Yeah. So I try to, like, think about what I'm going to say beforehand so I can go up and be, like, not a frothing fan. But game developers, I just lose my shit. It's like, I love your thing. I love what you do so much. I don't even know what to say to you.
You made Mario, man. You made Mario, bro. You made Zelda. Like, you don't even know, man. That's my entire childhood. Like, you did it. Anyway, he wouldn't care, and I don't blame him. Anyway, let's pass our next checkpoint. Right into the gamer rants. Typically, when we have a guest, we make the guest do a sandwich. But I think this time, obviously, since there's just the two of us, I will start. How about
do
that?
It. Please go off.
Okay, great. So, player one, Adam Ganser, plugging in. F-Zero. Man, what a game. Okay, first thing, and I feel like it matters just for context. This is my dad's favorite game.
Whoa.
Like, like, my dad used to play video games with us when I was a kid. And but he wasn't great at him. And he was, you know, he was at the age where it was too late to get into video games for him. And he was just busy. But F-Zero, when we bought that game, he was like, what do you got there? And we would play it. And eventually he took over that game. Like anytime we came home and he was playing games, which is occasionally, it's this game, master level.
Hell yeah.
Firefield, baby. He was so good at it.
Wow.
And like, there's just something warm and nostalgic for me about that, like, you know, this is the one that captured someone who was basically too old for video games, like just sort of missed it. It wasn't in their life. And I think that tells you something about how fun it is to play, that it really captured something that anybody, even if they like video games or not, can get excited about. So like, we've never really covered a racing game on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And the reason is that racing games tend to have a kind of uniformity, and there's a little bit of a continuum. And the continuum basically goes, either they are in the Mario Kart range, like, which is to say they're not just about racing, they're also about items and like being able to actually harm or impede your opponent's progress. Like, you know, they gamify it some, or it's about authenticity. And on that other end, I'd put Forza or Gran Turismo or some racing sim that's about simulating actual cars, how they work on actual tracks, creating as much fidelity to reality as possible. And both are completely viable. They are completely viable endeavors, and they both have great strengths and weaknesses. And I like both ends of the continuum. F-Zero is fantastic because it's really right in the middle. It's right in the middle. It is primarily racing. You don't really get too far away from just racing other opponents, especially in the first one. They started to gamify it a little bit more as they went along, but they added a few gamified elements that made it more competitive and less sort of and less about the art and fidelity of the race experience. Things like the walls are, they hurt you. You hit a wall, it hurts you, and it'll send your ass spinning out of control if you get too, if you get too much fiendish speed going at it. Right.
Oh my God.
So they have traps. They have like mines. They have like magnetic walls. They have jumps. They have like, you know, just like slippery surfaces and stuff, which are closer to things that might happen in a real racing sim. And I think most importantly, they give you speed boosts that you can deploy at any time once you complete a lap. Every lap you complete gives you a speed boost. So I mention this because I think for young people who don't, who when I was growing up, were not attached to car racing as a sport. Like, I've never been attached to NASCAR or whatever, like that. I don't, that doesn't do anything for me, or to like F1 or Daytona or any of that stuff. F-Zero is a great entry point because the gamification of it makes it more accessible and fun, and makes the racing part of it, that's like the primary loop, more engaging if you're not interested in racing. See, like when I play Gran Turismo or Forza Horizon or whatever it is, after a while, I get bored with those games, even though I'm like, dude, I'm going to get that fucking Audi and I'm going to soup it up. Right. And it's awesome. Right.
It's awesome.
And those games rule, especially if you're a gearhead, like they are really cool, but they're fundamentally pretty much the same. Like like mastering it is ultimately mastering like the same basic set of moves. And F-Zero throws just a little bit of chaos in there to make it feel like it will never always be the same. You know, like they throw actual obstacles and, you know, and sometimes the computer can cheat, by the way. The computer cheats all the time in a way that's like, what? And I think that's good. Huh. That's good for the game that it does that. So last thing I'll say before I turn it over is somehow they've also created some enduring characters from this franchise, which is weird when you think about it, because there's not a lot of story here. But this game started with four characters, and the only one everyone would know is Captain Falcon. Mm. But Captain Falcon, one of the best Smash Brothers characters, FYI. Falcon Punch, anyone? Thank you. Great character, has really endured. And I think that's another way that Nintendo understood, for us to care about a racing game, you have to create some narrative, some personality connection point. That's actually why people care about F1 and stuff. It's the oh, I'm rooting for, you know, whoever. I'm going to name a person who's not a person, but like Joe Gordon or whatever, right?
Love Joe
Gordon.
That's
not a guy. Love Joe Gordon, but I'm rooting for him and his team. You know what I mean? Like, that's how we get into racing. And they smartly recognize we needed sort of like at least playing card versions of characters to connect to and decide, do I want to be this kind of guy or this kind of guy? Right. And it was rudimentary, but effective. That's my rant.
Sensational rant.
Thank you.
Couldn't have felt it more on a deep level.
Oh, good.
And before I jump into my rant per se, I just want to point out something that, so like the first thing I did was play the game. I guess this is my rant. The first thing I did was play the game. The second thing I did was read about the game.
Okay.
And I would say my opinion on the game kind of like flip flopped after playing it and then reading about it.
Interesting.
And not, sure. and kind of in a way where I was like, there was things that I was annoyed at that I was like, wait, I actually really appreciate this. So firstly, outside of gameplay, the name F-Zero comes from this, the story is the quote unquote story is like these futuristic, you know, billionaire people make this sport that is supposed to be like F1, but future. So it's F-Zero.
Yep.
The fact that I never put that together in my life, I was like, oh my God.
These fucking space barons.
Of course. Of course. So that was something very fun to me. And as a big F1 fan, I was like, just kicking myself that I literally never put that together. F-Zero. Perfect. Of course. Anyway.
great.
So my experience playing F-Zero, like I said, or I think maybe this is included in the intro, I started as an F-Zero X. My first F-Zero experience was on the N64, when it had definitely kicked up in terms of the lore and the physical manifestation of the characters. Your Captain Falcon, of course, Falcon Punch, and even more characters, a much larger roster of people to race as. And jumping into F-Zero was something that, you know, also, like I said earlier, that Gans put me onto via the SNES app on the Switch, and getting to play it as more of, you know, an adult with more years of video game experience behind me. And playing a game like this when you are someone who didn't grow up with it, I think the frustration kicks itself up a little bit extra because you're like, we have developed so far past this. Like, I'm doing all these things where I'm like, this, I feel like we move past this thing, or move past this thing, or blah, 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 blah. But then you take a second, you put the controller down, you release the frustration, and you go, oh my God, this is the first time any of that was happening. This is the first time ever we were racing behind the car this way with a track that's moving around and seeming like we're moving in a 3D space. And there's so many. And as I played it again and more, I was like, truly everything has come from this. Everything that I love about racing games, whether it's your Mario Karts, whether it's your Gran Turismos, whether it's your Wipeouts, your Zero Gs, your Burnout Paradises, whatever it is, there's an element of that in this F-Zero game that seems so simple on its surface, but is so incredibly important to every other racing game. They all owe an essence of their mechanics to this game. And so experiencing that after having my first round of frustrating, beating my first Grand Prix and being like, oh, yes, I did it. And realizing, it was the first Grand Prix and the easiest one was like, oh, man, this is really tough. Learning about it and picking it back up again, I felt like I was truly playing something that it very much took me back to like, wow, this is what it was. This is where everything else came from. If I was now playing every other racing game after having played this as a kid, I would be like, got it from F-Zero. It's just like, it feels so deeply important and rooted in the history of racing games that like I felt that very in the core of my bones as I was flicking around the track. So I guess that's my rant. I felt it.
It's a great observation because like a lot of, I was thinking of racing games before this and I don't want to get into the next section, but like, I remember a lot of games that were racing, cause there was a lot of them at the time, were side scrollers or overhead.
Yes.
Like that was kind of like how racing was consumed until this point. And this is sort of an in-between moment where we started to get into three dimensionality. And we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side of the break. And that break is happening after this word.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what?
So are we. Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a 6-time finalist and a challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last 2 decades. I am a veteran challenger and challenge all-star.
And speaking of all-stars, All Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of challenge champion.
Listen to MTV's official challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And this word brought us right back. Here we are. Lap 4 of 5. By the way, they have 5 laps in this. Did you notice that?
Rare.
Weird, right?
I wonder what do you call it when you do like consumer testing or something, when you have like a bunch of people sitting in a room.
Yeah.
And it's like they play the first game. They're like, so how did you like 5 laps? Maybe 4 laps? 3 laps? It's like every game from now on is a 3-lap game.
That's right. I would guess if I was a betting man that they probably designed 5 laps because it was weird.
Yeah.
And because the tracks were so short.
Yes.
And then in subsequent outings, they're like, we have to design a track that feels satisfying enough to only
be 3 laps.
3 laps. Right. Yeah. I do want to talk a little bit about the next F-Zeros because I think that some of the seeds of it are here and it's worth talking about. And I'm not sure when we'll get back to F-Zero. It's been 5 years and we just got to this one. So I don't know. We can talk a little bit about F-Zero X.
Sure. But,
and before we do that, I just want to pass our next checkpoint and get right into Game On.
Game On.
This is where all opinions are welcome, though not equally valid, of course. And all interruptions are tolerated. And we really get into it. So can I ask you, I think, just point blank question?
Sure.
Daniel.
Yeah. Yes.
Did you have fun playing it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I think if we're talking binary 1 or 0, did I have fun? Yes. Okay. Were there things that, like every video game, I was annoyed by 100%?
Yeah. Tell me some of those things. I'm curious.
Spinning out, bumping into another opponent. The fact that there's certain points where the tracks are so thin and you're just trying to sneak by somebody and your hitbox seems to be just that much bigger where you're like, I don't think I was going to hit that person. Yeah. And then bing bong, ping ponging all over the place. And then you have HP and you have another lap left and you're like,
yeah.
Right, yeah, I'm going to retry this race again.
This game is extremely punishing if you take a wrong turn.
Oh, and man.
Like, it's been so long since I have played this and like not known how to play it that I forgot how steep the learning curve was as a kid. It was like, man, this game is not screwing around. Mm-hmm. And each difficulty setting, by the way, gets like exponentially harder.
Oh, it ramps.
So like, yeah, on Master Quest or whatever they call it, I think Master is the final version of it. You have to beat all the circuits on hard or expert or whatever. Master, here's what they're doing to you. It's all the same things you've been experiencing. Everybody is better than you at turns.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And they're constantly throwing exploding cars in there. Like there's just so many cars on the verge of explosion, and
just
you're like,
about to explode.
Come on, man. What are we doing here?
What are we
this
doing
is
here?
Bullshit.
Yes.
And you know, that's why they have the phrase Nintendo hard. Cause, that's what this game is.
That's very funny. That's true.
It's hard.
It is definitely hard.
I'm sure that it's designed that way to keep it engaging for people. And like, honestly, and I say this, you know, with love in my heart, my dad is the test case for why that works.
Sure.
You know, he doesn't like video games. This game was interesting to him because he likes racing stuff. Mm-hmm. And he played it for years with the master setting because it was that difficult and it kept him engaged.
Totally.
So like as a design philosophy, I guess it's, you know, for some people it's working.
Totally. I think that is, you know, we see that contemporarily in your Dark Souls, in your games are just unforgiving, and they're like, this is how the game is, and you either rise to the challenge or you don't. Suck it up. And I think it's the kind of the same thing with you know, more of the simulation style racing games. Like I think you'll always have your Mario Karts and your more contemporarily Kart Rider Drifts for the PC, which I've been playing a lot, but it's like you're playing these games that we can talk about that later, but not force you, but like you are really encouraged to get good. Like it's about, it's a game where it's like, this is racing. This is about finding the best line. This is about breaking at the right time. This is about, you know, knowing the limitations of your vehicle and really like, you know, and using it to your advantage to best the other opponent. And I think that this game offers such a, like a super concentrated version of that is like, if I may put it into one moment, it's, you can take a turn better than somebody else. And when you get that muscle memory down, it's like you don't forget. You're like, this is how you take the turn. I know how to take the turn. It's just like this. And if I do it the right way, ooh, baby, does it feel so good.
I think that's the joy of racing, period.
Totally.
Like, I think that's the distilled joy of racing is like nailing it on like a, I got every single piece of that just right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, and you brought out something that I think is completely worth discussing in the racing game genre, period. So you're right. Like racing is generally a get good, like endeavor. That's what it is. Like, especially on the fidelity scale,
right.
Where it's like the closer it gets to sim, it's like, look, you want to race with the big boys. You got to take this turn right. That's it. You don't do it. It's a game. Yeah. It's over.
That's it. And you're done.
That's interesting because Mario Kart, which I think is the exact opposite end of the continuum.
Mm-hmm.
The basic point of Mario Kart is to never make a race a certain outcome.
Yes.
Like
that's
Mario
why I got
Kart,
your blue shell.
Yeah. Mario Kart is about cheating so that there is no way, like there's no certain victory and there's never a way to not catch up. You can always find a way back in the race.
Totally.
You know? And I think F-Zero, interestingly, is designed so that that's still kind of true for most of these tracks. You can still get back into the race on the lower difficulties.
Yes.
With the tools they give you and the way the tracks are designed to curb your speed in like really dramatic ways.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Like every circuit at the end has a track that's like similar to the one I'm going to mention, which is Silence. You played the first.
Yes.
So Silence. They name it Silence. It's got weird music. And also, the track is shaped like a gun. What's that about, Nintendo? What are we doing?
Damn, I did not put that together, but wow, you're 1,000%
it's
right.
Like,
oh, my
what
God.
What are we saying right now? Okay, so fine. So here are children navigating the twists and turns of a gun. Okay, fine. So, but all the final tracks in each circuit are like this in that you can never really get going top speed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Totally. So if you've picked Samurai Gora, my particular favorite, who's the top speed guy, you're always going to be fighting the doctor guy who's in the yellow car,
right.
Mm-hmm. who has great acceleration, but no top speed. Right. So like they are designed to make it so that by the end, you can't just run away with it. You know what I mean? Like, you do have to get better. There's a training ramp even within each circuit.
100%. 100%. I think that's absolutely one of the great successes of this game is how, you know, how balanced it feels around the shape of the tracks, around the powers of the racers. Like, it feels, you know, everybody has a favorite Mario Kart person.
Totally.
And even with F-Zero, you probably have a favorite racer. But this one feels so much more like, you know, everybody has an equal shot. Everybody really feels balanced.
But they also have strengths and weaknesses. Yes,
totally.
Which I would say Mario Kart is slowly getting away from.
100%. So there's the best of everything. There is a top tier in Mario Kart. 100%.
Well, that's interesting because, like, I feel like Mario Kart has added customizability in such a way that I can choose Bowser, but I can get my acceleration up if I use these tires.
Yeah,
and this kart shape. Mm-hmm. Whereas with F-Zero, because of the lack of choices, like, every, you know, this driver has this car, that's it.
Yeah.
Like, you are deciding where on the continuum is this, do I want to play? Do I want to be like a guy who jets around corners, or do I want to be the guy who does it just right so you can hit that straightaway and fucking nail it? It's up to you.
Yeah. I think as we move forward in terms of developing new games, I think that is a successful change. Like, people want to customize, people want to make whatever they want. But I also think that kind of contributes a little bit to, like, the get goodness of, like, oh, well, you're not racing with Rosalina with the bike. Well, then, I mean, you know, you're
then
out.
You're not racing.
Then you're not racing. So, like, sorry, like, you can have fun with your little kiddie game, but, like, I'll see you at the finish line. And it's like, all right, well, that's annoying. Great.
Have you ever seen Days of Thunder?
No.
You ever seen that movie Days of Thunder?
No, I have not.
Days of Thunder is basically Top Gun, but for NASCAR racing.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
And so Tom Cruise is our pilot, you know, the driver.
Mm-hmm. And, it's Tom Cruise in this movie as well.
It's Tom Cruise, baby. It's early 90s. It's also, he was with Nicole Kidman. And it was their first movie they were in together.
Aha.
So yeah. This is a real fucking treat. Anyway, there's a fantastic quote from it that I just need to get just right. Okay.
Okay. Oh boy.
So Days of Thunder, because it has the other big actor in it whose name's flying right out of my head. He was in The Godfather as the concierge. Who is this? Robert Duvall.
Robert Duvall. Nice.
So Robert Duvall is, like, on the headset with Tom Cruise, right? And Tom Cruise is getting hit by, like, his car's getting hit. Mm-hmm. And he's like, this guy hit me. And then Duvall's like, no, he rubbed you. And rubbing is racing. You know what I mean? And that's, like, a key ingredient to F-Zero. Yes. Rubbing is racing, baby.
Rubbing is racing. 100%.
That's what it is. How many times did you die on a jump in this game? Did you get into any of the circuits?
No, I'm trying to. Yeah.
Because the jumps are unwieldy, I would say.
They're super unwieldy. I think... Yeah.
This is him really deeply counting them up.
Because here's the thing. It's the exact kind of mechanic that frustrates me to the point of, I need to get this fucking right. It was the kind of thing where it's like, I need to be able to nail this. I love racing games. I love Mario Karts. I'm less about the Forza side of it, but I'm way more about the Mario Kart side of it. So that felt into the caliber of, like, this is a mechanic that I want to fucking nail. And so I think the answer to your question is a lot, but I will tell you, it's something that I started to fucking nail towards the end. Course, I was like, I got this shit.
And also, when you do nail all the speed up and jump stuff, the stuff that's, like, extra to racing, you start to feel like the game really starts to lift your spirit, man.
100%.
Like, you're like, this is fucking rules.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, it really does.
There's a track called Red Canyon, which, by the way, home track for Samurai Gora. That's there how much go. I stand this okay. guy. So
love
Red
that.
Canyon, Red Canyon is the one that has all the jumps.
Oh, okay? yes.
I remember
as
a child, like, it took me, I don't know, like, a solid week of, like, playing this game and dying at that track over and over because the jumps are so unwieldy because it was kind of a new system in racing.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, and so it really takes you a while to, like, get your head around the weight of it and how it, like, plays out and stuff.
Oh, 100%.
And F-Zero is like that with kind of all of its all of it's like the mines, the magnetic fucking side railing.
Everything.
All of them are like, fuck you. Yeah. Like, it's going to be hard for you for a week. That's how it is.
It puts you in discomfort the entire time you're playing. Yeah, like the second that, you know, you finish your first Grand Prix, by the last race, you're like, you know, I think I actually got it. I think I got the controls of the game. And then you get mines and you're like, oh, well, fuck me. And then you get magnets and then you get jumps and you're just like,
yep,
I just learned one thing.
Like, why are you doing this to me? Let me have a victory lap. And they're like, nah.
Yeah, no, no way. Nah. But that is part of the reward of this game. I can see why it's so just like, you know, drawing you back in because you want to beat this thing. You got to beat this thing.
Yeah, it has to be hard enough that you're going to play it for more than an hour. But 100%. It has to not be so hard that you're going to quit because it's like this is not fun or competitive. And they to me, they nailed that balance. But that is a tricky balance.
Yeah.
So can I talk about like. This may seem like the most obvious observation ever, but like it does matter.
Please.
This game is very fast.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? It's very fast. So like compare it to, I don't know, Excitebike, which was a generation earlier, but not a lot earlier. Or like any of the RC car games that used to exist or really anything in the time. It's very, very fast.
Yeah.
And it runs really well.
Yeah, super well. Right? I was really like, impressed.
Yes. As a pro, as an engine, like a game engine, it's like this thing, like they cared about it has to run just right.
Mm-hmm.
It never has frame skips. Mm-hmm. It never slows down. It's like, no. It's going to go real, real fast.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say as a franchise, that's the thing that makes F-Zero stand out is that it is very fast. Like it's like you're not in control all the time. It's going that fast.
Oh, no doubt.
Right. Would you agree with that?
I 100% agree with that. And I think that's one of the elements that's spawned its own genre of game. Like did you ever play Wipeout?
Yes. But see, and this is why that's actually why I brought this up. Wipeout doesn't have the speed that F-Zero has.
That's so interesting.
To me, when I play, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's like a previous experience thing, it's an a priori thing, but Wipeout is in the same genre as F-Zero, no doubt.
Sure.
It's like a it's a hover car space
hover game, car like futuristic racer game.
Yeah, it's in the same genre, but it doesn't have the breakneck speed that F-Zero brings.
Okay, I want to propose something to you, and you tell me you agree with this statement.
Okay, great.
Part of the breakneck speed of F-Zero is due to the fact that you're still racing on a course that requires your full attention.
Yes. I think that's right.
Is that Wipeout will generate the feeling of speed on a course that doesn't require as much brain attention.
Yep.
It's not that's a game where you're like, pardon me?
That's interesting.
Yeah. Where it's that's like, it's not like a turn your brain off. It's not like a farming simulator, but it's the kind of game where it's like you're making gentle turns and you're kind of like soaring through space where it's like it is giving you the sensation of speed without the need to keep paying attention. And I think that kind of like I need to be consciously aware of when this next turn is going to be while also maintaining this breakneck speed is part of what contributes to F-Zero's super fast feeling. That you're absolutely right that you don't get in a lot of other games.
Right. It's like, in a way, it's like the sprinting in Mass Effect that everybody loves so much as a meme. Like in Mass Effect, when you sprint, you don't actually go faster. They just added like streak lines and stuff to make it like it's going fast. Yeah. It's a really dumb bit and it's funny, but it's funny so because funny. It satisfies this thing in your brain where you're like, well, I'm finally going fast.
Even though I'm going fast. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
exactly. F-Zero is creating narratively and emotionally tension.
Yeah.
It's creating tension because tension makes things feel like they're going faster because I'm going to crash into this wall or that exploding car is going to hit me or that whatever. Mm-hmm. And I can't slow down enough to feel comfortable.
Right.
You know, so that's a really good observation. I would also say F-Zero has a concept in it that it explored more fully in later iteration, which is the tracks are supposed to be roller coasters, which is not, it's not true of certainly this first one, but also of other racing sims.
Totally.
Like you play F-Zero X, for instance, and like Big Blue, which has sort of been one of the, tracks that stretched across all the F-Zero entries.
Sure.
Is a cylinder And you can literally fly off with some centripetal force any which way.
Right.
You know, or they have one that's like literally like there's loop-de-loops and shit.
Yeah.
And I think that tells you they always thought of, and this game has little pieces of, like the experience of this is supposed to be you're being whipped around in a way that you're not entirely in control.
Totally.
Like a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Other games don't do that because they want it to feel like controlling the car feels good and and it makes you empowered. I don't think F-Zero cares about that.
That's interesting. You know, I agree wholeheartedly that, you know, the future of these games is definitely this roller coaster experience. But I do think control of your car, and maybe I'm misunderstanding, but I do think control of your car is like tantamount to your feeling of success in this game, that it does offer you a ton of control, despite the fact that, yes, it is kind of like a speed simulator, but it is that control that like gives you the satisfaction of, oh, I'm playing this game well.
I agree with that. Let me actually make a very hair splittingly fine distinction.
Oh, please.
So I think that the best moments in F-Zero are the moments where it got so hard you almost lost control. And then you barely got through with like just enough health or just in front of that guy. Right. Mm-hmm. The same experience, by the way, that a lot of W's in Mario Kart happen.
Again,
it's the gamification part of it is the like I overcame the chaos of this just enough to get through. Whereas winning in Gran Turismo or in Forza is not about I barely got through. It's about like I did that course perfectly and everyone else is in my wake.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
Like I don't think the tension of just beating a guy is the same level of satisfying. And I think that's on purpose. That's what I mean. Does that make sense?
Got
to
it.
You?
That totally makes sense to me. Yes. 100%.
If you wanted it to be about controlling the car, you would not design the game this way. I don't think.
Interesting.
Right.
Like, interesting.
Like Firefield, for instance, the last course in the game is fucked up.
Yeah, it's fucked up.
It's like they have like S curves and shit, and you're like, how can I? What? And they have like they have everything evil in a racing game is in that course,
and
it's amazing, of course. And like you don't design that if you're trying to make the fundamental experience of like exerting complete control over the car and mastering how to drive it. You create it to rip that away from the player and make them struggle to have it to get it back. That's the tension of it.
That's interesting. Okay. I hear that. I hear that. Yeah. I hear that 100%. No. I think that's very fair. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I hear it's that. Just an argument. I mean, of course somebody's going to, and they're welcome to tweet me and say, I am in complete control. That's why I'm Captain Falcon all the time. And I'll say, great, man. You know, great. I mean, I think every video game rewards or should reward being like mastering it, being perfect at it.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And racing games are the most that, you know, like that's
definitely,
you know,
that's the whole point kind of.
Right. But I think like what makes it fun is not the same thing as what makes it fun to master necessarily. Those might be distinct loops or experiences.
You know, I think, you know, you can kind of look at the culture of speedrunning with a similar lens where it's like those games, in a sense, it's like those people are mastering the completion of the game. Is it the most fun way to play the game? Well, I mean, I don't know, maybe for them, but like probably not how the designer intended it or like what is the quote unquote most fun way to play it.
Have you ever watched this fucking Ocarina of Time speed runs and he's just going hop, 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 hop?
Yep.
It's like, nah, dude, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, those frame perfect like sword slashes through a door. And it's like, this actually unlocks another door that takes you to the end of the game. It's like, okay,
yeah, great. The Elden Ring ones were like legit sorcery. It was like, how did anyone figure this out? It's like insane. Yeah. And I don't think that's the same joy.
No.
You know,
for them, maybe.
Yeah, sure.
Maybe. But yeah, I'm with you on that one. Yeah.
Oh, I would never take it from them. Like, please have it. Have it, friends.
But no, I'm totally with you. I think that's a very apt observation that the fun is not in the mastery. The fun is in conquering. It's in like beating the game, not being like the best driver per se.
Yeah,
I get that.
This is going to sound extraordinarily condescending, and I just mean it as a joke. So, have you seen the menu? Have you seen the menu?
No, I haven't yet, but I'm familiar with it.
All right. Well, then I won't. Well, I won't say the thing then. Okay. It's okay. No. It's about this. There's one character in the menu who shows up, who like is just obsessed with cooking stuff, like, but he's like a fan and thinks he knows everything, and like it's very clear he's there because in his heart he believes like I could do this, and it gets undermined in this amazing way. And I sometimes feel like, not everyone, but I sometimes feel like there are speedrunners out there who like to think they're better than the game designer in a way. Not all of them, certainly not.
Of course.
I get that sometimes from them.
Yes, totally.
There's a little bit of a menu moment for me.
Oh, yes. That's funny. I see what you're saying.
So who did you race as? Did you try them all?
I went straight. I did try everybody. But when I was like pushing to actually complete the Grand Prix, full disclosure, I could not complete the third. I was just not good enough. It's hard as shit. It's so hard.
Yeah.
But I did Captain Falcon. I really like a balanced. When I play racing games, I love a balanced racer. I'm a Yoshi in Mario Kart. I'm trying to think of what else. Oh yeah. Big Yoshi guy.
Yoshi.
I will say, okay. So Yoshi in every Mario Kart, except for Double Dash, which is my favorite Mario Kart, in which I am baby Toad and Toadette in the little, whatchamacallit, in the, what's it called? The train. There's like a little train car.
Tops.
I will not be touched. But anyway,
you maxed out on that. I love this.
100% maxed out on that. But yeah, I played Captain Falcon throughout the entire thing. Nice and balanced. I was like, let's get the experience that this game wants me to have by playing the main character and like character one.
So this is another case of perhaps Nintendo tricked our brain. Right. Because I think you've wisely pointed out that's a lot of what's going on here in some ways. Right.
Right.
I think also Captain Falcon, because he's the balanced character, became the main character of F-Zero. Mm.
Yeah.
And I don't think that had to be true.
No, I think you're right. Yeah.
Like, I know he's the protagonist in the narrative as laid out in the control book because I've read it. But I was a kid, so I read it, of course. And I remember it. So that tells you something. Like, kind of, who gives a shit?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Totally. Like the narrative never coalesces into literally anything in the game at all.
No,
so like, yeah, I would say like subsequent F-Zeros did a little better at making a narrative out of it. Mm-hmm. I think that the reason we care about him and that he stuck around is because his car was so well balanced.
Yeah,
that it 100%. Was fun to play.
Yeah.
Right.
It felt the most like you, back to the whole control thing. It felt like it reacted to how you played it the most evenly, like the turns were always the most even, the acceleration, the top speed. It always felt measured in a way that was like fully within your grasp.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So there's a couple of mechanics in this game that I think are just, I think they're really interesting, and I can't think of other games that I've seen them in. So one of them we've talked about a little bit is the walls repel you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like as though you were literally shoved.
Yeah.
And it's a great experience because it's a little bit like pinball almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like you can get pinball, right?
It's like fucking God damn it.
No, for real. I love this though.
It's almost triggering where it's like, oh, it was pinball, all right. You bounce off of one. Like, okay, I'm gonna get past this person, I'm gonna get past, and then bing, 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 just like, oh, for God.
Yeah.
One HP, I'm on lap three. God damn it.
Well, that's the thing, is that it'll really, really punish you health wise.
Yes.
If you hit that too many times. Also, it has health.
Yes, health. Yes.
Like almost no racing game has health. And the idea that you're sort of managing a health bar is an interesting idea. Mm-hmm. And they took it further in F-Zero X, where not only are you managing a health bar, your boost is your health bar. So there's a risk reward element to the game.
Oh, my God. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And it really changed. Like they went further with that idea. And that's cool, right?
That's like, really cool. It's a cool idea. That's a good change.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I agree. I think it's good. Better because if you're like me, you hold on to those boosts to the last round and then you're
Hell yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Let's make it. Let's do it.
Yeah. Right.
100%.
Which is dumb. It's like, that's not the funnest way to play it, you know? But that's what I do.
But you know what? Go off. Play it your way. Have it your way.
Play it my way.
I think, you know, mechanically, another mechanic that I think is really worth talking about is, mm-hmm. I don't know if they would call it this necessarily, but the way your car is able to drift, when you make a turn hard, it carries your momentum.
Yes. Yes.
They
designed it in a way where you don't have tires and friction.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Like, which is really cool because it is unique to the premise of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And it totally works. And then they do something that I was going to add that you're right on my wavelength here. Mm-hmm. They have a course where there's wind.
Oh, yes.
And the wind
is pushing you around.
Really, yeah, it really affects the way that your car handles.
Yes. I remember
in a way
that.
It's not just turbulence. It's like you're sliding around on ice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sliding around on ice. And then sometimes you're kind of doing like a half, like turning one way and still drifting and moving forward.
Yeah.
I absolutely love that. And that really activated, you know, for me, as you just heard me mention before, Double Dash is my favorite Mario Kart. Yeah. It was the one that I think, in my personal opinion, does the best drifting. I'm not an in-drift person. Mm-hmm. I'm an out-drift person. And that Mario Kart was all out-drift, was like, this is
like
the
this
one.
Way?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just,
okay.
Yeah. I was totally playing this being like, oh my God, this is where people saw, like, obviously, to say it's not intended, I don't know. I'm not Shigeru Miyamoto, but like, it's intended that your car is without wheels and is moving through air and is thus having to carry momentum because there's no friction from the wheels. But I can't see this game and think that other designers were like, the way the car moves around the corner carrying a momentum, we need to preserve that. We need to preserve that in some way. And whether they were like, you know, it's not like anybody invented drifting. It's like drifting has been a thing since cars had tires and wheels and like braking of inertia, blah, 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 blah. But like seeing that was like, this is such a crucial part of the experience of like correction and mastery of like, you turn your car one way and then you need to adjust to keep it going straight. Mm-hmm. Like seeing this is like the progenitor of every other game that does that. I was like, this is like one of my favorite mechanics in racing, period. And to see it this early, I was like, oh my God, this is it. I'm playing the first drift. I'm playing the first like carrier momentum, oversteer, understeer. It was like, this is the kind of technique I want to master forever.
And it's interesting because Mario Kart came out later on this console generation.
Next year.
But it didn't have the same drift mechanics. Because I mean, I'm sure they overlapped enough that they didn't think of it.
Right.
But it's very clear Mario Kart understood we need to take that.
Yeah. And then you have Mario Kart 64.
And that's the one, by the way, that's where I feel like Mario Kart really became what it is. You know, we could talk about that on some other podcast and probably will. But I feel like Mario Kart 64 added key elements that make Mario Kart into this monolith of karting that has become its own genre.
Right.
And people can argue with me about that some other time.
Sure.
But clearly they stole from F-Zero. Borrowed. It's the same designer, probably.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can see why. Because it's like really fully formed in this game in 1990.
Yeah.
You know, like it's insane.
Oh, yeah.
It's insane.
It really is.
I'll say one other comment about F-Zero X and then maybe we'll hit the break.
Sure.
And that is F-Zero X clearly believed that this like slipping sort of like the momentum thing and speed were the fundamental aspects that made F-Zero what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because in the things that they ramped up were almost all in that direction. Like they have half pipe.
Yes.
You know, they have like half pipes and you know, stuff like that. And that is one of the only games in the Nintendo 64 library that ran at 60 frames a second.
Wow.
Yes. That's why the art is so shitty on it. It's that like, and I, you know, for the time,
yeah,
it's
shitty,
because they wanted it to run at 60 frames a second. Like it running consistently is a huge thing about F-Zero. Wow. You know, it's funny like that. Maybe it's kind of a shame, is actually what I really mean to say, that like this, that Nintendo and Sega didn't collaborate on this franchise from the get go. Because I feel like they both had pieces of the puzzle that would have made a perfect racing game.
Yeah.
You know, and I know they the did speed. Later. Yeah. Mm. I want to say GX is a Sega collaboration with Nintendo.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, F-Zero GX.
That's your chance. I'm going to look that up while you're talking.
I believe it is. And I just, there's a part of me, it's like, what if they had managed to make the F-Zero like back in the day together? Like how much slicker would that be? You know, you're am I right about right. it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Use the Triforce Arcade System Board, conceived from a business alliance between Nintendo, Namco, and Sega. Published by Sega. It was released alongside this. You nailed it.
That's really cool. Yeah, because I know Sega was really interested in how do we like push the technology to its absolute limit in terms of speed, obviously, because of Sonic and other things. And it just, you know, it seems like both companies were interested in that. And this was Nintendo's version of that project. But that's maybe a little bit too geeky to wash that geek taste out of our mouth. Let's run over a few breaks, like a break right now, and get some ads in our system and get ready to boost through our final segment. Keep or delete after this.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. This month, we're bringing you the stories of disappearing acts. There's the 17th century fraudster who convinced men she was a German princess, the 1950s folk singer who literally drove off into the sunset and was never heard from again, the First Nations activist whose kidnapping and murder ignited decades of discourse about Indigenous women's disappearances, and the young daughter of a Russian czar whose legendary escape led to even more intrigue and speculation. These stories make us consider what it means to disappear and why a woman might even want to make herself scarce. Listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And guess what? So are we.
Just in case you forgot, I'm Tori Deal. I'm a six-time finalist and a Challenge champion.
And I'm Anissa Ferrer, and I've been gracing your screens for the last two decades. I am a veteran challenger and Challenge All-Star.
And speaking of All-Stars, All-Stars 4 is finally here.
I'm going to be honest. I literally thought this day was never going to come.
Well, the Challenge gods have answered our prayers, and we're going to be right here along with you fans covering every episode on the podcast.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, redemption seekers, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
Anyone can win, relationships matter, and only one all-star will claim the title of Challenge Champion.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And zoom, we're back hitting all three boosts. We're going lightning fast now. Hopefully we don't rocket out of control off of the cliff.
But sounds like my first couple playthroughs.
Sounds like every playthrough I've ever done. Yeah. Of this game.
Amen. Amen, brother.
Did you have something you wanted to add? I'm sorry, Daniel, I cut you off.
No, not at all. The only thing that I wanted to add that, like, so I think I said at the beginning of the episode, I felt one way about the game and then I learned about it. I felt another way about the game and I played it again and I'm like, okay, this fucking rips. But the one thing I learned about was what's called Mode 7. And Mode 7 is one of the seventh graphical mode of the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. Now, just to be clear, I'm going to say this super basically because I'm not a programmer. This is just something that I looked up because I was like, okay, what is this? So the different modes of graphics on the Nintendo Entertainment System are basically how it renders graphical information, and each one gets progressively more and more complex. But the ways it gets more and more complex is just like one pixel, one color. 4 pixels, 4 colors, like 16 pixels, 8 colors, 16 colors, 256 colors. It's just about updating, like, you know, how wide of a swath you can use to create an image. So like when you're playing a game like this, you'll see that there are certain palettes that are very basic. And then there's certain things that are like a lot more like, you know, detailed when you look at them.
Yes. Yes.
And then the final mode is what's called Mode 7. And Mode 7 is actually not about what the graphics look like. It's how they interact. And Mode 7 was a way to allow a 2D surface to rotate and appear three-dimensional.
Yeah.
And that was revolutionary for the Super Nintendo Entertainment System. This game as a launch title was the first one to use Mode 7 and make a racing game appear in such a way that you're behind the car and the world is kind of rotating around you and create what is, you know, essentially today how everybody experiences a racing game.
Dang. Like, that's huge.
It's enormous. Yeah, and that's something that, like, I will say as someone who didn't grow up playing this game, it's something that you take for granted in racing games where it's like, well, this is just how racing games work. It's like they're all like this. But the fact is they weren't like this until they were. And that was F-Zero. And thinking about how every other racing game is like, I mean, sure, you can do it in the first person perspective where you're actually in the car, but I think, like,
which is cool,
no doubt.
Yeah.
But most racing games take place in a third person camera space where you're looking at the car racing and like basically the track is moving around as your car is moving. And of course, the graphics have gotten better where you're seeing the car turn a little bit, et cetera, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
I'm not here to get nitpicky about that. What I am saying is that this game so revolutionized how we look at a racing game, it like changed it forever, where every game after that was like, oh, this is how we got to do it. It's got to look like this.
Dang.
And that just like straight up blew my mind.
So I didn't know that.
There you go.
I knew as a kid when I played F-Zero, it really stood out as like, wow. And I know that I've also never been that attracted to racing games by and large. I've owned many Mario's Kart. Like kart racing in general is a thing I can play with friends, you know, whereas like, I don't have a single friend who's like, I'm going to get the McLaren edition of, you know, F-Zero or a fucking Gran Turismo or whatever. I don't know anybody like that. And also you're right. The third person is the default in racing now, maybe now more because the car models are so sick.
Oh yeah. Oh, people want to see the car.
Yeah.
Well, they want to look at their
whip. That's what you're paying for. Literally paying for in a lot of cases.
Quite literally.
I mean, for real, you know, like try unlocking some of those higher end, you know, Porsches or whatever in Forza. Good luck without money.
Or imagine you just did a bunch of heists in GTA and bought yourself one of the fancy new cars. You're going to sit inside that thing the whole time and not actually like look at the thing you just spent like $2 million on.
Yeah. No, you will fucking not.
Oh, I'm looking at that baby.
Exactly.
Taking it to Los Santos Customs, putting a new paint job on it, and I'm going to spin that thing around 100 times.
I love this so much because I did that shit. I actually, in Grand Theft Auto 4, anytime I saw the Ferrari or the Lamborghini or whatever, I'd drop whatever mission I was doing, steal it, save it in front of my apartment, and then like go love get that. Another car.
Yes, just, exactly.
I needed it. I have to have a sports car.
Got to put it in your garage. Love that.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
That's the way. Well, we've had a lot of fun here, but I think we've crossed our final checkered flag.
Wow.
And it's time to decide do we keep this game or delete it?
Yeah.
Do we keep it or delete it? And yes. Daniel, you have full voting power here.
Like, I'm not going to lie. I'm very nervous about that. I feel this community, which I'm very thankful to have become a part of this community via social media, via, you know, publishing the episodes that you guys make and like be, yes. And our streams and like getting to know everybody, and people take the keeping and deleting very seriously. And I have so much respect for that.
They do.
Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'm going
to
go first. I'm going to make it. Please. I'm going to go first because I think it'll make your life easier.
Okay, great.
Okay. Is that okay?
Sure. Go for it.
Because I also want you to feel like you can do it, man. Whatever you want.
Okay. Sure.
I'm going to tell you what, and I'm sorry, Mike, if you don't like this, I'm sorry, buddy. I'm keeping it. I'm keeping this game. And I'll tell you why. I was not going to keep it until this Mode 7 thing you just said. I was not going to. I was like, you know, it's a great racing game and I love it, but it's nostalgic and blah, blah, blah. But man, that Mode 7 thing really matters.
It super matters.
You know, like, and it does define racing. Like, it legitimately defines racing, and it's still an excellent video game. Mm-hmm. It's still really fun to play. I was just playing it yesterday on a stream briefly to get warmed up for this. And I was like, this game's still great.
Yeah.
It still plays great. It's not clunky at all. Like, it still runs great. Yeah. You know, like, certainly I expect more from a game I pay $60 from now.
Sure.
Sure. Of course, this game's like 30 years old. But like, for a free game.
Yeah.
What else do you want? It's pretty epic. Captain Falcon also matters canonically because of Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think it's I'm happy to replace it someday down the line with the definitive racing game, whatever that is. I am also happy to say this would not preclude me from keeping a Mario Kart, and will not preclude me because I think Mario Kart belongs. But for now, I think for racing, this belongs. What are your thoughts?
Without revealing exactly what I'm going to say, I completely agree with you. Okay. I think that there, you know, the genre of racing game is so vast.
Yeah,
and to pick one on this hard drive of 100 games, I feel like is a little bit of a, and that's not saying this is what you said or what has been done yet, but I think that would be a disservice to the racing game genre, which is so vast. It has spanned every single console generation. It's not like racing games are from X generation or Y generation. You have the silly to the super serious. You have your iRacing and you have Diddy Kong. Like, you have everything in between that makes up the genre of racing. And so much of it comes from this game. Yeah. And I think that kind of importance lends itself to, I mean, it's a piece of history that I think anybody who likes a racing game, especially with access to it for free, as you mentioned, and this is, and again, not like freemium free, like if you have a Nintendo Switch and you go to the Nintendo store, you can download the SNES SNES emulator for free and play this game for free. Like, it is just a straight up free game experience. It's like, go to that museum, open your Switch,
have a good time.
To that museum, have a good time playing this game and be like, wow, everything really came from this.
Yeah, it has the Casablanca thing where it's like you've played so many things and don't realize, oh, they all came from this.
Yeah. And I think film is totally a good comparison, especially because it's like you see things like techniques, you see things like story.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like you don't have The Last of Us 2 without Casablanca. Like, you don't have so many things without their progenitor, without where everything came from, where people said that was done right and let's keep doing it. And so when it comes to this game and the genre that it spawned, in my personal opinion, this is a fucking keep. 100%. This is a keep. This is a big keep.
Yeah. So I'll just say this. Since my illustrious co-host is not here, if he decides to overrule that, I want to leave him the space to do that.
Of course.
He can always vote to delete if he wants to.
Of course.
But for now, even if it's just for one lap around the course, my friends, F-Zero is triumphing, baby.
F-Zero is a keep, baby.
Hit that boost, baby.
It's just like, it's so, I'm not going to lie. What sealed it for me was honestly like the second Grand Prix, hitting a perfect turn to pass somebody where I just felt, I was like, the mechanics are acting the way that I want them to, or like that the game is telling me if you do it this way, it's going to respond that way. And that like skill expression is one of my favorite phrases in video games. When a game allows you to express your mastery in it in a way that is satisfying, where it's like, you do this thing happens. And every time you do that thing, it's going to happen again. This game does that. Yeah, it nails really it perfectly. It. And the way that it does that, way that it did that for every racing game going forward, it's a keep to me, 100%.
My dad will be very happy. He also probably doesn't care because he's. I don't know if he's ever listened to this podcast.
You're going to call after this. Adam has gone. So, was it a keep? All right, good.
I would be surprised if he had ever listened to this podcast. I would be surprised.
There you go.
Because he doesn't play video games. Why would he listen to it?
I mean, that's my dad in my stream. I'd be surprised if he literally ever watched it.
Yeah. Why would he? Why would he? Oh, why speaking of your stream.
Oh, yes.
I really feel like you should take this moment to plug anything you want, sir.
Oh, sure.
Please, please do.
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Dude, what a pleasure.
I'm such a huge fan of the show. I love listening. I mean, despite being the one who publishes it, I'm an every week listener. I love the show so much. So that's thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. We love having
you. Appreciate that. You can find me all over the internet at DJ_Danl, DANL. I'm on Twitch, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok a little bit regrettably, but I got to get this micro content out somehow. So it's going out everywhere. But yeah, I stream on Twitch Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays.
Yeah.
Usually I'm just streaming Rocket League. I'm working on a trivia show that I'm kind of putting together that is, you know, I'm beta testing. I've tried a format and I'm ultimately going to switch the format entirely, but it's still been fun. But the thing that just happened, which you may have heard us talking about at the beginning, I don't know if that didn't make it in, it doesn't matter. But I just finished playing The Last of Us Part 2 as a segment on my stream called The Backlog.
Yep.
The Backlog is where I go through single player games I haven't finished and play them all the way through on stream and just, you know, beat these games that are so good that I've been meaning to play and just haven't. It started with Doom Eternal. It was then Spider-Man Miles Morales, Super Mario Odyssey, Red Dead Redemption 2, Ghost of Tsushima, and then we just beat The Last of Us Part 2.
So you're playing a bunch of amazing games.
Literally. I mean, it's one of these games where it's like where I say the list and some people go, you hadn't played those games yet? Yeah, and I'm like, know. I'm a little embarrassed to say that. Like, yeah, I just hadn't finished them.
There's a lot of video games, man.
There's a lot of video games out there.
I mean, believe me, Mike and I have to have lots of conversations about, are we going to play this? Like, is this a thing that, you know?
Totally.
And then there's things like, I just started Breath of the Wild this morning.
Oh.
Like, you know, and I'm like, why did I do this? I'm gonna have to play it. Like, I'm already hooked. I'm like, man, I got to cook that apple and shit.
Yep. I love that.
Oh, it's so good.
Games are great.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Games are great. Dude.
Games are great.
What a great conversation.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. You're such a wonderful guy and a great producer.
Oh, thank you.
And also, I'm serious, one-upsmanship fans, shipheads, if you will. His stream is very professional and legit. Like, whenever I check in, I'm like, I should be doing any of that, and I'm not. really, really good stuff, so please check it out.
I appreciate that.
And that's all we got for now, friends. Feel free to join us for the intermediate course next time around on One Upsmanship.
Work complete.
Optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica.
a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't fully understand the moment we're living in without knowing where we've been. On every episode of NPR's Throughline, we take a story from the news and go back in time to where it started, where it really started. To answer one important question, how did we get here? Find NPR's Throughline on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.